I used to say that I feel like God dragged us into it, but I'm going to tell you, God chose us specifically this year. He looked at our life just like you look at David's life, and he said, you know what? Because of your faith and your faithfulness, I'm going to choose you. And because I'm going to choose you, I'm going to use you. And because I'm going to use you, I'm going to do something I can do in you and through you that's going to affect more people than you. So we've got to have a right perspective for this year. Man, God has spiritually placed us somewhere. And there is an incredible unfolding that's going on. I believe in every person's life right now that gets into the alignment of God. God is trying to unfold some things in your life that will change you for the rest of your life. But on the other side of that, we can call that battle. If we look at that in the natural eye, we call that battle. But what that means is, God says, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. We wrestle with powers and principalities. So we have this ability to have a spiritual warfare going on in our lives that has nothing to do with physical things, that has nothing to do with people. It can all be handled in the Spirit. And you know what? The Spirit changes everything. It absolutely does. So what we are about to do is we're about to get into some real spiritual concepts that is going to absolutely bind your flesh. It's going to absolutely bind your flesh. But let me tell you, that's a good thing. It's a good thing for us to become less fleshly and more spiritual. I listened to that teaching that Jason did a couple weeks ago, and I loved it. I love that we can listen to TV now. I mean, we can listen to sermons on our phones. Because it's so good if you don't get to hear a message. But he said, it's a spiritual thing. How many of you were in here when he preached on that? It's a spiritual thing. Let me tell you, warfare is a spiritual thing. And if you handle it any other way, no matter if you think you win at the end of that battle, you lost. It is a spiritual thing. So God is going to teach us how to deal in our battles and in our lives this year, I believe, in a whole new level of a spiritual walk with Him. And there's so many things in the Bible that we can pull out, that we can look at, and we can challenge ourselves with daily. So we are going to talk tonight about what I feel like are the two most difficult and challenging parts of growing seasons, of battles, and they are such practical elements to our life, but they're such spiritual principles in Christ. I think the two of the most challenging for me personally, and I can only speak for myself, the two of the most challenging things ever in a battle are having peace in that battle and having patience in that battle. You put me somewhere where I can get all grilled up in the Spirit and I can war and I can fight. Let me tell you, I'm good to go. You keep me there for a while and I'm good to go. But when the battle gets long, and when the battle gets longer than you think it should be, that's where the enemy comes and he tries to rob you of that peace, because what he tries to do is to get us impatient. And I'm going to tell you, patience might seem like a very little thing, but the Bible says patience produces perfectness. It says patience makes us perfect. And what we need to understand is God highly thinks of patience in our life, because he puts it into a place that if we can have patience in a season that he has placed us in, his word promises us he will perfect us. We can't perfect ourselves. We can't perfect any situation where we're a part of. But the word says if we can have patience in that battle, that patience produces perfectness in us. I'm going to tell you, that's a promise you can take to the bank. Because if you can get your mind and your heart into the battle and know, if I can just be patient, if I can just wait on God, God will do His part. And while He's doing His part, He will do something in me that is so supernatural that only He can do. How many of you want to get to this end of the season you're at? And I feel this really strong. I want to get to the end of this season that I'm in. And I want God to look at me. And don't you know my notes are all awry. And I want God to look at me. And I want God to say, you have done it perfectly. You have done it completely. There's not one thing left to do that you didn't do, because this is what the Bible says in James 1:4. It says, let patience have its perfect work, that you Not your Bible, not your battle, not your problem, not even your husband, not even your wife, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Let patience have its work. Now, I'm going to tell you, I wish God would have put any other word there than that. I wish He'd put, let faith have its work. How many of you have been able to stand in faith? And you could believe the greatest thing that God has told you. We can do that at times because faith comes by hearing. When we hear God, He gives us that faith. But that's not what the Bible says. It says, let patience have its perfect work. And I'm going to tell you, time and time and time again, the enemy robs people of what God is trying to do for them and in them and through them through lack of patience. Because patience in our life makes us put aside everything we feel in that moment and makes us trust beyond what we're in. Patience is hard. There's no easy way around it. But what happens is, when we choose to have patience, God comes in supernaturally and He gives us peace. God can give you peace in any storm, and if you can decide, I'm not going to let impatience move me out of this place God has for me, God's promise is to you that He will perfect it, that He will make you perfect in it, that He will complete it, and that it will lack nothing. But patience before God is very important. Now, I've asked somebody to come up here with me tonight because I feel like it's very important that we all let the words of our testimony. How many know the Bible says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb? And if it was not for that blood, I'm telling you, I would be in hell right now. I know it. I know it. There's not a chance that I would not have even probably made it to my 21st birthday if it was not for that blood. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, but we also overcome by the word of our testimony. Let me tell you something. When God brings you through something, when He builds in you something that the Bible calls perfect and complete, lacking in nothing, it is your job to open up and share it. Because there's a supernatural healing process that happens in you. But what God has done for you, He wants to show the world. God wants to show off. He wants to show off in you. And the battle in that season might seem so hard. It might seem impossible to have peace. How many of you have been in a battle where it seemed impossible to have peace? It seemed impossible to have patience. But somehow, God's grace brought you through. And if you can come out of that perfected and lacking nothing, how many of you have came out of some battles and you didn't lack anything? You have no idea how. I'm telling you, I have been in some messes. And I have no idea how I came through that and I didn't like anything. But I'm going to tell you, it wasn't me, it was God. And He deserves the glory in that. And other people need to hear how God worked, what He did, how He moved in our life. Now, Miss Nanette, will you come up here? I love Miss Nanette. Miss Nanette was my teacher. Now, I was not a very good student. I'll tell you, when I have the greatest memory of Miss Nanette being my teacher, I was actually kicked out of school at that time. I was kicked out of a Christian school that my parents were the preachers of. Yes. Uh-huh. And she was such an important influence on me at that time because she was so loving. And she was so kind. And she was so overlooking of what everybody else in the entire church and the entire school loved to look at that time. And I don't know if you were aware of that. But you were able to see past all of that and see something that nobody else saw. She saw good. And she invested into me. And we would sit and talk. And that meant so much to me because that put value in me. But God has done miraculous things in her life. I've watched her walk through some things in the past few years that I've stood there and said, only the grace of God could see you through. Because only the grace of God could see us through. And so tonight she's going to speak on warfare peace. She's going to give us an example in her life of how peace of God will sustain you.
Hey. Well, Crystal got my scripture, James 1:4. I was good. So that's really a confirmation. I hadn't even told her I was going to use that scripture. But when we discussed this, Crystal and I wasn't, you know, I'm 55, and when you get to be 55 years old, you have a lot of warfare opportunities during your lifetime. And so I just kind of started seeking the Lord about it, and what kept coming back to me was a season that I went through about 5 years ago, and I haven't shared this with anybody. Some of my immediate family, you know, I've shared some of this with them, but I found myself, I was 50 years old at the time. I was bankrupt. I didn't know that I was bankrupt, but I was bankrupt. I was about to be divorced. I was shamed. I was embarrassed and humiliated. And I was fixing to be without a place to live. And, you know, when you get to be in your 50s, you know, your children have, most of them have left home. And your focus is on getting your home paid off, getting your finances kind of in order, getting your little nest egg fixed up, and doing some things with your spouse, you know, just enjoying the latter part of your life. And when I was hit with this, being 50, I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know, I just didn't have a clue. And, you know, I remember thinking, you know, God, how can this be happening? You know, my husband and I, we are leaders. We sat on the front row at church. Bill Norton even gave us a word, you know, how can this be happening to us? But, you know, it was. And in all reality, this was real life. And this was happening, and I knew I had to get a grip and get my bearings. During this time, my husband had moved out of the house, and you know, he had not talked to me about divorce, but he had gotten involved with a person that he worked with, and you know, I just knew that was the next step. But I had lost an extreme amount of weight, and I wasn't sleeping. The enemy, I tell you, I've never had such torment in my mind as what was going on at that time. I couldn't even sit down and have a good, clear thought to get some bearings, to figure out, you know, what my next step was. And I wasn't eating, wasn't sleeping, and I knew that something had to change. You know, and I would seek the Lord, but when you're in the middle of chaos like that, you're not hearing. There's no peace. And without peace, you're not going to hear a thing from the Lord. And I couldn't hear anything because of all the chaos in my mind. And when the battlefield is in the mind, that is the truest statement I've ever heard. One afternoon, my husband came by the house, and I wasn't for sure what he wanted. He said he wanted to talk, but I wasn't real sure what it was about. But I kind of had an idea, and he came in, and we just kind of made some small talk there, and he told me that, you know, he was fixing to file for a divorce. And, you know, I want to tell you that I got real spiritual and I handled it in a very mature way, but I'm not going to stand here and lie to you. I did not. I picked a chair up, I threw it at him, and I meant to tear his head off. I cussed him out. Words in my vocabulary that I had been long delivered from. I mean, they surfaced. You know, some words that I had washed my kid's mouth out with soap for using. It was not very pleasant. And my husband was very shocked because he had not seen me respond in that way. You know, I've been aggressive with him before, but not to that degree. And when he walked out, he just turned around and left. And I stood there watching him go out the door. And I'm thinking, well, that went real well, didn't it? You know, we got a lot accomplished. But he did tell me, you know, that he wanted a divorce. And still, you know, being spiritual was the very last thing on my mind. It just really was. I was at this point, I was beginning to get mad and kind of wanting some revenge. But, you know, when you have been in church the biggest part of your adult life, the Holy Spirit does reel you back into reality. A few days later, I had been meeting with Miss Elaine, and she had been encouraging me and giving me some counsel and some guidance. And I went in, and we sat down and began to talk. And I told Miss Elaine, you know, that Dwayne had come by the house. And she asked me how that went, and I told her, I said, well, not too good. I said, you know, I'm not even going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to even lie because God knows I did it. God knows what happened. So I told her, you know, about throwing the chair at him and the vocabulary. And she just was kind of stunned. I think that's the first time I've ever seen Miss Elaine speechless. But anyways, she looked at me and she said, well, did you repent? And I said, well, frankly, no, because I don't mean it. But when I do mean it, I will repent, Miss Elaine. So we went on and talked some more. And, you know, she encouraged me and gave me some scriptures. And I'm telling you, that lady knows some scriptures for some warfare. Anyways, I went on. After I got home that evening, I was, you know, just kind of meditating and pondering over Miss Elaine and my conversation and the way I had responded with my husband. And just, I knew that physically and mentally, I just couldn't continue the way that I was going. And I knew if I was going to come out with any kind of saneness, you know, I was going to have to get a grip. And I sat there in the den that night, and I just had me a little come to Jesus meeting with me. And, you know, I told the Lord, you know, I wanted his peace in this battle, in the warfare, and I needed his counsel. And I knew as long as everything in my mind was like it was, you know, even if he was speaking, I wasn't going to be able to hear. And so the Lord started, you know, working some things. He gave me some scriptures. And, you know, I started meditating more on those than the actual divorce and all the things that were still going on. My husband, he had been, He had been a very kind and generous person. And the place that he was employed at, he had been there about 25 years. He was very well respected. I mean, even at church, he was very well respected. People at his place of employment would come to him for prayer, for encouragement, for scriptures. And the last couple of years before everything kind of came to a head, there had been some issues that the Lord had wanted my husband to deal with. And I would see him, he would battle with it. And he would go for several months, and it would look like he had victory. And then I would see him relapse and fall back into this sin. And this went on for several times. And there, right at the end, I just saw him give up. And I saw what once had been a very kind and generous man, he turned completely opposite. And the person that I had lived with for 15 years, I'd shared meals with, we slept in the same bed, we talked of dreams and things that we wanted to do together. That person wasn't there anymore. He disappeared. Once the papers were served on me, you know, I had mentioned that there had been a large amount of debt, and there had been. And a lot of it, the credit cards were in my name. And, you know, my husband took care of the finances. I never questioned him about anything. But then, you know, it all came out that our savings was depleted. You know, all we had was what was in the thrift savings. And with his personality change, he just became very, he did some underhanded things, very dishonest. And in the divorce, he tried to place all the debt on me. And he tried to steal some other things, some other properties that we had. And I just knew that, you know, I had to stay focused. And if I didn't, you know, I needed counsel. And at that point, you know, you think about warfare a lot of times, and you think you just go in and you do whatever to win. But I learned in that particular instance that I could do warfare, but I could do it clean, and I could do it with the Word. And the Lord really did help me in that. You know, I had that going on, and I was just trusting the Lord, and he was giving me counsel and things that I was going back and talking to my attorney about that, I know that's not true. And my husband just, you know, kept trying to deceive. But I remember that, you know, I would get for several days, you know, no day was the same. You know, every day was different. And I would go for several days, and I would really do great. My focus would stay where it belonged, and I would go to Walmart. And, you know, Camden's a pretty small town, and, you know, we were known, and people talk. And at that time, we were the talk of the town. And when I would go in Walmart, you know, different ones would come up and say, well, you know, I heard your husband say this, this, and this. And each time I would come back home, and it was just like I was having to start all over again and just trying to get my bearings again, get refocused. So I finally just decided, you know what? I'm just going to have to stay out of the public for a while until some of this blows over and we're not the talk of the town anymore. So, you know, if I did go, I went late at night when there weren't a lot of people in there, or I'd send my daughter-in-law, you know, after whatever I needed. And this worked great for quite a while. And then the enemy saw that, you know, I was still maintaining my peace and listening to the Holy Spirit and getting my counsel. So my phone, people start calling me on the phone and telling me, you know, of the lies. And, you know, whether he said it, whether he didn't, you know, I don't know. And right now, I could care less. But at that time, it was important to me. And after about three or four of phone calls, I thought, you know what? I have had enough. I walked in. I picked my purse up, my keys up. And I said, I am fixing to go confront him again. And I'm fixing to use some of those vocabulary words that I've been delivered from. And I'm going to poke him in his forehead. I might even poke him twice. And, you know, we're going to get this settled. And I started for the door. And the Holy Spirit, you know, just stopped me and said, you know the truth, and I know the truth, and that's all that matters. You know, and that stopped me dead in my tracks. And, you know, I said, you know, that's right. I put my stuff down, and I went on about my business. And as far as that part, you know, I did hear stuff. I didn't care, you know, because I knew what had happened, and the Holy Spirit knew what had happened. So, you know, that was really a great thing. And what really impressed me about the Holy Spirit was that even though I was willing to throw what me and the Holy Spirit had worked to that point for peace and counsel, and even though I was ready to throw it all away and run down there and poke him in his forehead and be ugly again, the Holy Spirit was still willing to minister to me and stop me from doing that. And to me, that is just so awesome. It really is. And our divorce did. It went through, and my husband did not. He didn't succeed in any of his attempts. In fact, I mean, this is really God. His half of our thrift savings, because he actually had made the debt, and it was considered a community debt, joint debt. But he had to take money out of his half to pay the debt. So, you know, that was really great. And if I hadn't have listened to the counsel of the Holy Spirit, that wouldn't have happened. And I began, you know, I began one day at a time, you know, starting my life over. And, you know, just living from day to day. And at this time, you know, I was renting a house, but, you know, I wanted a house. And the Lord had told me in the middle of all this chaos, you know, I said, God, you know, I'm about to be homeless. We had a beautiful home, but I knew that I could not maintain it. One morning I was in the bathroom putting my makeup on, and, you know, this had been on my mind. The scripture came to me that God puts the solitaries in families and gives the homeless a home. And, you know, I knew, you know, somewhere down the line, God would take care of it. So I moved, I rented a house, I moved out, and sure enough, about 3 months after the divorce was final, the Lord brought me across a lady that used to go to church with us, and she was a real estate person. And I fell in love with my place. It's not just gorgeous, but it suits me. And I just love it there. So, you know, God did give me a home, and it's my home. And it's not far from being paid for. That's even better. And, you know, God began a healing process and a process of forgiveness. And if any of you have ever had to do that, it's not an easy thing. It's a real emotion like love, and it is a process. But I just submitted myself to the Lord, and I said, you know, God, I don't want to always feel this way towards him and the person that he was involved with. You know, I don't. I want to be free of this. And so, you know, I just proceeded on day by day. And in the process of all this, you know, some other things happened, and that's for another time. Another warfare that had happened. It didn't have anything to do with my husband. But I ended up at Kairos. And I'm telling you, I went in that place one way, and I came out a totally, totally different person. You know, I had asked the Lord so many times, you know, God, why, what went wrong? You know, I don't understand, you know, why? And before I had actually gone to Kairos, one day the Lord told me, he said, I'm going to give you some of your answers that you have been asking me when you're ready. And when I went in Kairos and I sat down there, all those answers that I needed, I mean, it just came. And I saw my husband I saw a different person than what the unforgiveness was allowing me to see. And I came out, he was forgiven, the lady that he was involved with, I had forgiven them. I wanted no ill, nothing towards them. You know, I just wanted them to be happy. Before I went to Kairos, this is only God could do this. Before I went to Kairos, I'm a dreamer, and I dream. And I had a dream, and in the dream, my husband, my ex-husband, came to me. And he had some health issues. He was not healthy at all, even when we were together. And it was due to an issue that the Lord was wanting him to be free of. But he had began to drink quite a bit. But anyways, in the dream, he came to me, and he was very thin, very haggard, tired looking. And he came to me and told me, he said, I have no job. I have no money. I have no food. He said, I have nowhere to go. I have nothing. And he said, can you help me? And so in the dream, I pull my checkbook out, and I wrote him an $8 check. And you may think, you know, $8, you know, but the Lord knew that I would know that he was speaking something specific, because 8 is very significant in my family. My birthday, my oldest son, my mom, my brother, two of my brother's kids, and another brother, his twins, all of our birthdays are on the 8th, just in different months. My parents married on the 8th. And I was born exactly 9 months to the day. So 8 is very significant. It has meaning in our family. And the Lord knew that I would know that he was speaking something to me. And eight means new beginnings. So, anyways, when I woke up the next morning, I was kind of pondering this dream. And you know, I was still in the process of my forgiveness journey. And I had not gone to Kairos yet. But I was sitting there having my coffee, you know, pondering over the dream. And I began to state my case with the Lord. And I told the Lord, I said, you know, God, I know that you're speaking something specific to me because of the eight in the dream. I said, but I don't want to do this. You know, I don't want to be used in his life for anything, you know. He embarrassed me. He humiliated me. He shamed me. He tried to steal. And you want me to help him? And, you know, I just kept arguing and arguing. And I felt, you know, the Lord just tell me, just put it on the shelf for right now. So I did. I just took the dream and I put it on the shelf, but I didn't forget it. And so about 6 months after that, I went to Kairos and I had my life-altering experience with the Lord. And I kept thinking about the dream again. And I had a different outlook on that dream this time. But anyways, I just went on with my life. And in fact, when I had come back from Kairos, I sat down and I wrote my husband, my ex-husband, a letter. And I told him, you know, that I forgave him. I held nothing against him. And he had just gotten married at the time. And, you know, I wished him and his new wife all the best. And, you know, I wanted God to bless them. And I hope they had a very good, happy marriage. And, you know, and I told him, I said, you know, forgive yourself and just move on, you know, because I have. And I let it go. And about a year after that, well, I had heard that, and they had only been married about a year. And I heard that they were separated. And I still didn't, you know, think anything about it. But I came in from church one Wednesday night. And guess who was sitting in my driveway? Yeah. I got out of my car, and he got out of his truck. And I'm telling you, they're my dream played out. And he looked very thin, very unhealthy, very tired and haggard looking. And he walked over to me and he told me, he said, I need your help. I have nowhere to go. I've been staying in my truck. I'm not working anymore. My health has not allowed me to work. I have very, very little income coming in. And he said, I'm hungry. And he said, and I need you to help me get sober. You know, and to stand there and see somebody that at one time was so full of God, and it was just almost very overwhelming. And I didn't see him then as somebody that had hurt me so deeply. But I saw him as somebody, if anybody ever needed any mercy and some kindness, that man did. And so he came. I moved him into one of the back bedrooms in my house. And the first thing we did was work on, I fed him. You know, he was hungry, and I brought him in, and I fed him. And he had not taken his medication like he, you know, was supposed to. He has some really major health issues. So, you know, we worked on getting that back. We worked on no drinking. And the soberer he got, the clearer his mind got. And, you know, he just began to talk to me about spiritual things again. And he probably, I think he stayed there with me about 3 months. But during this time, I helped him with his paperwork. He got his disability. And, you know, God did give him a new beginning. And he is now, he's back in church at our Camden church. He has his own place now. And, you know, sometimes he sits with me at church and sometimes he doesn't. And that's fine. And when he doesn't come for a few days, well, I go by and check on him just to make sure that, you know, things are okay. And, you know, just to see God bringing restoration in his life between them two. And, and he has talked to some restoration for us. And, you know, and that's not my desire, and God gives us the desires of our hearts. And, you know, that's just not my desire, you know, and he understands that. And, you know, he's just focusing right now on restoring his relationship with the Lord. And you know, the Lord really does make your enemies your footstool. You know, and only God could take a situation like that where the enemy meant to destroy both of us and turn it. You know, I just can't get over, you know, God's awesomeness. But I know that if I had not kept peace at the beginning of this battle, that it wouldn't have I wouldn't have had the outcome that it had in me or in Dwayne. And, you know, I am thankful that I let patience perfect its work, and that I may be mature, and I came out mature than I went in, and I'm more complete and lacking nothing. And there was a scripture that I had prayed over my ex-husband, and I see that now coming. That his heart exalts in Adonai, and his dignity has been restored by our Father God. And he can gloat over his enemies because of his joy at saving him. And now, you know, that scripture, as I see him being restored more and more into his relationship with the Lord, you know, he can gloat over his enemies because, you know, he might have been down, but he's gotten back up. So, and, you know, I've had other battles that it took me a long time in the midst of the battle to get the revelation. But, you know, that's for another time. But thank you all for letting me share that with you. And we'll give it back to Chris.
That was such a story that I felt like that needed to be told. And I'll tell you one thing about this church is, for anybody in Camden, this is a safe place. I've said that to them, I'm telling you, for the last how many years. This is a safe place for us to be able to share what God is doing, to share where God has brought us through. Because I'm telling you, one thing we need to know is, man, we need God's grace. That's what I kept on thinking the whole time. Man, we need God's grace. But you know what? Everybody that's connected with us need the grace of God too. And if we can't get to a place in our life where we can believe, my husband tells me this all the time, and it's such a wise thing. He said, you know what? Some people, all that they need is grace, and they have nobody praying that into their life. If we can pray that God will give them, the open the door to give them the grace that they need to overcome, then we can be what God uses in their life. And God always makes it a beautiful story. I can't think of any other story that I've heard in a long time that brings, when I see him come, because he does come to church, and I see her sit by him, I'm going to tell you, there's such a testimony to that, to everybody that watched her walk through that, that understands that only God can be that faithful. Only God can be that faithful, and only God can make something work out that good. And that's the beautiful way about God. So I don't care whatever circumstance you're in, whatever situation you're walking through this week. You say, God did it for her. God can do it for me. God did it for her. God can do it for me. And let that encourage you this week that God's grace and His peace is enough.
Yeah. So, well, during this time, one of my family members, and I didn't know how they were going to respond to letting him come, you know, move in my home after everything that had happened, because they weren't as forgiving. But I had one particular family member, and she would tell me all the time, it doesn't look good. Well, it just doesn't look right, him living there with you. And she would just carry on and on and on about it. And, you know, I knew I was doing what God wanted me to do. And I would tell her, you know what? I'm doing what God wants me to do. And I know where He sleeps, and I know where I sleep. And it ain't in my bed. That was always my response to her.
God brought her out holy. Man, God brought you out pure. God brought you out stronger. Oh, I just want you, would everybody just close your eyes? I just really feel like tonight that she's going to pray. Can you pray over? Everybody in here is in a battle. Everybody in here is in a season. And I believe that God's given you supernatural grace to walk through those things.
Father, we just thank you. I thank you for the word that was shared here tonight. And Father, it really, it was only you. It was your words. And Father, as each one of us are in a battle, in different seasons of our lives, Father, I ask you that you speak your peace, your counsel, and your direction into each one of our lives. And that you, Father, you are in the midst of the battle with us. And even though sometimes it doesn't feel like you are there, you are there. And you're caring about what happens to us. And Father, we thank you that you love us. And you only want us to be more mature and more complete. And so we can go out and help others. And Father, I thank you for moving and working in each and every one of our lives, perfecting and rooting out and planting in what you want to be in our lives. And Father, I just ask you that you show each one of us specific things that you want us to learn in each season of warfare that we are in. And Father, we thank you for doing this. We thank you for your perfect peace, which surpasses all understanding. And Father, I know if you did it for me, you will do it for everybody. You are no respecter of persons. And Father, I thank you for your word that brings us hope. It gives us hope. And Father, we love you and we praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Go in peace. Love you guys. Have a great week.